We're back, baby.
Not we're back. I never left. You're back.
Yes, I am back. And man, am I feeling sleepy.
I wonder why, Madison. Could it be because of this mesmerizing storm we're having?
So you may hear a few
cracks of thunder.
Yeah. Maybe that'll go well with our podcast. We'll see.
So we want to quit wasting time? We want to just jump in?
I think we should.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 74, we're talking about rest.
Rest. I was going to sing R-E-S-P-E-C-T, but that's not how you spell rest.
No, that's definitely not.
R-E-S-T.
Yep, that's it. This is something that's definitely been on my mind since I took off a week.
Yeah, was it restful?
No. Which isn't that odd when you can take off a week and yet still come back feeling tired.
Well, I guess we'll talk about that today. Yeah. But what do you want to just talk about your experience taking your week off?
Oh, in the context of rest or just telling the folks at home?
Yeah, I mean, however, it's your week, your story, you can decide.
Well, my intention was to have all of these things done.
Okay. And getting things done already does not sound like it was meant to be restful.
But some of the things that were on my list that I wanted to get done were things like lay on the couch or, go in my sewing room for a little bit or change out a light fixture or, so it was a mix of like both restful things and, or what typical restful things and some other like, things that I would like to get done around the house. And I also took a trip while I was, it wasn't even the weekend, like a quick 2-day trip to Nashville to see a friend of mine as well.
Trips are never restful to me.
You know, I was thinking that when I was planning this trip, I thought, oh, am I going to be rested? But I'll tell you, just having the week, like the few days off working up to a trip, and then going on the trip, I just felt very at ease.
Okay.
I felt very relaxed. I didn't even have music on. I just kind of listened to the road for the first hour where I was just like the quiet, going out and seeing something new. It just felt
talked nice. Before about how doing something new is restful for you.
Like it is.
It rejuvenates your energy, maybe.
And there has been even some scientific work on why vacations are necessary or why stepping out of your schedule is necessary because it allows your brain to build new pathways and it makes you more open to different ideas when you come back to your work.
I was just thinking about the different words that we use kind of interchangeably, but maybe aren't. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you hear R&R, rest and relaxation, but rest is different than something that like revitalizes you or rejuvenates you.
You know, but I was thinking about my definition of rest and I considered it a putting into balance things that have become unbalanced. Hmm. When you're tired, you've had too much time awake. When you are bored, you have had too much of the same thing over and over again. And rest, relaxation, restoration, rejuvenation is all a bringing back into balance something that has gone out of whack in your life.
I like that. And we tend to only focus on the rest part. I mean, I guess we use it as a way to gauge energy.
And usually when we're talking about, oh, I need to get some rest, we consider the lounging on the couch aspect. Or sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of multiple aspects, I found a TED Talk. I'll put a link in the show notes.
I do like me a good TED Talk.
That lays out 7 different kinds of rest. And I guess this will kind of encompass some of that, but you don't know them.
No, I do not.
So I will tell you what they are. I wrote a very brief description and we can just kind of,
chat about it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Okay. The first one is physical rest.
The one that we all think of.
So your body is tired. Even your mind is tired. You need sleep. They mentioned 2 types of physical rest. There's passive physical rest, which is sleeping, napping, And then there's active physical rest that would be like yoga, stretching.
Ooh, thunder.
Active physical rest would be something like yoga or stretching or massage, where you're still getting rest to your physical body, mm-hmm. but it's not through something passive like sleeping.
Okay. That's interesting. I also find it interesting they don't put on there binge watching YouTube videos or Netflix as part of passive relaxation. But I think there's a reason behind that.
But okay, so one thing that I noticed as you're going, it'll become more apparent as we go through them, is this is like actual rest for your body.
Mm.
So binge watching something is not like, I mean, I guess the laying on the couch, but that is only have to do with your body. So It wouldn't, the actual binge watching would be a different kind of rest, mm-hmm. not physical rest.
Yeah. Well, I never feel rested if I've binge watched something. I only feel that way if I've been sick and I need actual rest. Then I feel like I can sit there and watch Netflix. But normally if I watch it for way too long, it doesn't feel restful for me.
What does it feel?
It feels like a waste of time.
Yeah, it just sometimes like, usually when I fall into a pattern of binge watching something, it's because I don't know what to do. It's not because I need rest. It's more because I'm like being indecisive or like lethargic or lazy. It isn't like that I need rest.
Yes, it's the first thing I reach for because it's easy. Or I'm like, I don't really want to do anything, or I'm too tired to do anything. So I reach for what's easy instead of what I need.
And too tired to do anything, like, for me, usually means making decisions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like too tired to make a decision about what I'm going to do. If I have a list of things I want to do, and then I think I can't even decide which of these is worth my limited energy.
Decision fatigue.
Yeah. Anyway. That none of that we just talked about has to do with physical rest.
No.
One thing that I do find true about physical rest is sometimes when my body is really sore, I actually need to be active to make it better.
To get that soreness out.
Yeah.
I do like me a good Epsom salt bath though. Or like soaking in a tub.
That would be passive physical rest.
Oh, it would go with like the massage and things like that.
No, I think that would go with sleep.
Oh,
like an Epsom salt bath.
Okay, gotcha.
Because think like a massage is activity that's happening on your muscles, like a
You know, I gotcha.
Just like stretching or working out is not necessarily active rest, but just when my body is sore, and sometimes I think, oh, I can't work out. My body is sore. But sometimes my body is sore because I'm not moving. Like because I'm sitting in my chair all day on the computer.
Yes.
And then it's making me sore, and I actually need to exert some intentional movement to get over that. Yeah. So
I think that's where the balance idea of rest comes mm-hmm. in. It's like you've been sitting in your chair too much. You need to restore that balance by getting up and moving.
Right. Okay, the second kind of rest is mental rest.
Okay.
So this is maybe where the binge watching would fall in as like a faux kind of mental rest.
Ooh.
You know, not it's like fool's gold, y'all. It's not real. Okay, but the gist behind this is doing things that let your brain slow down. So whether that's taking short breaks, you know, throughout your work day, or one example this TED Talk gave was having a notepad to just like jot random ideas on. So it's anything that kind of is helping your brain decompress.
I like that jotting down of ideas because I can just imagine having one next to my desk and just having random thoughts come into my head and having a place to like dump them.
I have a couple of brain dump places. Usually when I need mental rest, it looks like it's when I have squirrel brain. When I have a lot of things I'm trying to hold on to in my brain. And so if I make a list and I know that those things are written down and so I'm no longer responsible for holding them in my brain,
yes,
then that helps.
What a notion.
But sometimes I have to make the same list over and over and over and over. It's like I don't trust it.
You don't trust the first list?
Yes.
I love that.
Any comments on mental rest?
I don't know, because that's a tough one, right? It's something that feels more nebulous, to use one of your favorite words. And I don't know if I give myself that much mental rest.
I think this is the kind of rest I need the most. This, and there's one other one. But I think this is the type of rest that I need the most, because it's my biggest obstacle is getting my brain to turn off.
I've heard people will go and rewatch the same show over and over again because they know what's going to happen and it feels comfortable and safe.
Oh, I rewatch shows.
So I'm wondering if that's another kind of mental rest. That's sort of like you're not questioning about what's happening in the show or trying to follow characters. You're just allowing your brain to focus on something that it doesn't really have to focus on too hard, but it gives it enough focus where you're not having to think about other things.
Like sometimes, because work is one of my favorite things, I have a hard time stopping work. And so sometimes I'll leave my office here and then I'll go home and do a different type of work for still several more hours. But that somehow feels restful. Like when I was designing the mural for the bathroom, that was still connected to work and something that was on our to-do list here at Make Do, but being able to just stare at my iPad for several hours and flesh out the design that we were going to do was really restful to me. Or like I just took on a couple of freelance design projects, and I did a logo for a local organization, and that was restful, but it was still work.
But you were still doing something, creating something.
I guess it was still something that was productive and was bringing me money.
Yeah.
Like it was still work, but it was a type of mental rest for me, because it was something totally different than my regular work at Make Do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. The third type of rest is sensory rest. Ooh. So that is when you take a break from overstimulation. I think especially workspace where everyone was working from home and you were on meetings on Zoom all the time. Mm-hmm. And you weren't getting that much face to face through the computer,
yeah,
but like in-person interaction, just having to stare at the computer and be in those Zoom meetings. I have found myself when I am working on creative projects, like sometimes when I'm at the studio on a weekend, I don't have any music on or like any podcast or audiobook or nothing. I just am in silence. And you were talking about on your drive.
Yeah, on my drive. It just felt so peaceful. And for whatever reason, my brain was able to just focus on what I was doing and not have any other intrusive thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I listen to music or podcast or things. It's because I don't like intrusive thoughts. Joe just had a very sad look on her face.
My sonic drink is not within arm's reach.
Shall we pause?
Yeah, yes. You can keep talking. I'm still listening.
Oh, well, it was just very peaceful and nice to be able to be on that drive and not have to listen to anything. But oftentimes my anxious brain needs that podcast or music to be able to drown out the other things my brain is thinking of.
Yeah. I need them a lot of times because I'm just bored.
Oh. For me, it really is to get rid of those like intrusive thoughts, because sometimes silence can just be maddening.
Yeah. I get bored when I'm driving, and listening to stuff keeps me awake. My dad has always would drive without any music. I mean, he'll drive all the way here. It takes him, 5 or 6 hours. He doesn't listen to anything.
I wonder what he's contemplating in the brain of
his. No, he says he's in his nothing box.
I want a nothing box.
Women don't have them.
Dag nabbit.
I think only men have nothing boxes, apparently. I don't know. If you're listening and you're a woman and you have a nothing box, let us know. But I think it's typically more for men.
I guess so.
They get to have a nothing box.
Well, I think those first hour to 30 minutes of my drive, I think I did find a nothing box and it felt weird.
Yeah. Like sometimes I can settle, but I can't just be like, I'm stepping into my nothing box.
Dude, if I could find that switch in my brain, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, we don't have it.
Dagnabbit. Someone broke the switch.
No, we're just, our brains are like a circuit board. This is comes from, I'll have to see if I can find it. Let me make a note. Uh-huh. I think it's called A Tale of Two Brains. Mm. And it's men and women. The psychologist or something is talking about the difference between the male brain and the female brain. Mm. And he says that men just have an on and off switch, but women have like this really complicated circuitry in our brain.
That sounds cooler, but it doesn't feel cooler.
No. Okay. So that was sensory.
Okay.
I actually think I'm pretty good at this kind of rest.
You know, I'm thinking about the times when I would go into a kindergarten classroom and I would substitute teach for them all day long. The sensory overload I would feel is insane.
Like, I hate having, I had some of our suite mates in college when we lived like in an apartment. She would have the TV on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in my family, we always muted the commercials. Yes. So then, and if we weren't watching TV, it was off. Like we didn't just have that. So sometimes if I'm at a doctor's office or the airport and the TV is on and it's at like almost just a couple notches too loud, ugh, it drives me insane.
That's interesting.
And it's like I get so fixated on the TV that I just want to go turn it off.
Yes.
It drives me bananas.
Yeah. But I mean, you can be like in a classroom, you can be touched way too much where it's just like, I just need people to not touch me and not say my name because you will get real tired of that real fast.
Okay. The fourth type of rest.
Okay.
We're going to love this one. It's creative rest.
Woohoo!
So
love it.
This is the idea of surrounding yourself with beauty and inspiration and creative, you know, art or whatever, as a way to kind of have a break from the mundane.
Yes. So this is where like my idea of like experiencing something new would come in.
Yeah, awesome. I think so.
Yeah, I definitely love this kind of rest because this is the kind of rest my family definitely taught me to have. We'd always make time for a vacation during the summer. And it didn't matter where we went. We would just go somewhere new, learn something new, try new food, experience things that we had never done before. And hey, I didn't have to plan the vacation, so it was pretty restful for me. But even still, those are the ways that I seek out rest now. I think I'm very good at this.
We maybe have talked about this before, but because our jobs are creative, sometimes I get fatigue, like creative fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not as restful to me as it would be if our job was different. Yes. However, well, that's why I don't sew personally very much.
Mm-hmm.
Some garments occasionally, but I'm not home like making quilts for myself or doing any type of sewing at home. And I think it's because we do it so much here that it doesn't feel restful.
Mm. You know, it's funny because today I just finished up finished my sewing class for today. And I thought, oh, I just want to go home and sew. Because sometimes it'll revitalize me to watch other people participate in an activity that I want to as well.
Now, that's interesting because we had an advanced quilting class over the weekend. And on Saturday, I was here until 8 p.m. We started at 9:30. So like basically 11 hours on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you stopped by with your family.
Yes.
And I was like, I think I'm going to go home and sew. And I had just been.
Yeah, you'd been up here so long.
But I wanted to take like my sample project that I had been working on kind of along with the class and like work on it.
Yeah.
And I actually spent quite a few hours working on that on Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
So
sometimes that happens where, you know, when you're watching other people go through it gives you that oomph. But there are times where I'm like, I don't want to make anything.
A lot of times what is always restful for me is the playing, is the like taking different fabrics and putting them together, laying out a quilt. We were talking about that 2 weeks ago on the last episode, like about creative goals. And I said, I just love playing with color all the time. So that is always restful for me. Mm-hmm. It's the actual doing of the thing that is not so much.
You know, I think what is always restful for me was what I was talking about in my creative dilemma where I'm putting together like patterns, or like I'm matching patterns with fabric or projects that I want to come up with. Like that inspiration, I'm like, ooh, that sounds
like
exciting.
Like the planning phase.
Yeah, love that. Think that's great. But then when it comes down to actually doing it, if I'm tired, I'm like, I just don't have the oomph to get it done.
No, because you know what all it's going to take.
Yes. And even if I set a timer, like I knew sometimes when I push myself to do that, I do feel happier, uh-huh. but then there's times when I don't. And that's weird, right? Where I think this button, I should always be able to push it and get rest. Like if I can just do this one thing, I'll feel rest, but that's not true.
I think because it should be obvious to you why, because we're just talking about seven types of rest.
Exactly.
And like the creative rest isn't the button you need to push at that moment.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Okay, this is number five, emotional rest.
Okay.
So I found this definition interesting. Emotional rest is taking the time and space to freely express your feelings and cutting back on people pleasing. So it's being with people who you can do that with, like being with the people that you can freely express yourself with and with people that you're not constantly having to people please. What? I sound really loud. Do I sound loud to you?
A little bit. I wonder if we both sound loud.
Can you just turn my headphones down at least? Here's a, as we go. Okay. I don't know if that's any better.
Maybe. I think our levels look pretty good.
Well, at this point, you will be hearing it in post-production and it'll all be worked out if we're too high.
It'll all be fine.
But I still feel it's kind of loud. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's why going and seeing my friend in Nashville was so important to me. She's one of those few people where I don't have to pretend with.
Mm-hmm.
I've known her for about 7 years and she even texted me afterwards. She goes, I just feel so invigorated after I've been around you. I feel more like myself. And those kinds of friends and those kinds of people are really hard to find.
Yeah.
Who is that for you?
Well, you're jumping to the next kind of rest. So
what? Oh, I thought we were talking about emotional rest.
We are, but.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
The next one is social. So.
Okay.
Here's something I want to say about emotional and then we can jump into the social rest. You didn't know you were jumping the gun because you haven't seen all of these. I think that's part of why our world feels like such a dumpster fire right now, community wise. And it feels like, I mean, things are partisan, but polarized and all of that. I think one reason why is because everyone has been under so much stress that we have completely lost our capacity to regulate ourselves emotionally. And so we're just, people are freely expressing themselves all the time when they shouldn't be. I saw a funny Instagram reel. It's this little girl and she's saying, being kind is easy. All it is when you have mean thoughts, you keep them to yourself.
Oh man.
I thought, how brilliant.
She is right though. Yeah,
that's all it is. Like you don't have to let everything out. I've seen another trend where it says, let's use our inside. Those are inside feelings. Like keep those on the inside.
Yeah.
But that's part of why people gravitate toward echo chambers, right? Because you can, everyone is agreeing with you. And so you get to just have like this shorthand of emotional expression.
Sure. You can freely express yourself. And then in that moment where you go maybe a little too far, they're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't call you out on it.
Yeah. And so it takes a lot of energy to be mature in those.
Yes.
To have mature, grown up, intelligent conversation with people who disagree with you. And I think we're just lacking when your energy is low. That's maybe one of the first things to go. So
yes.
I think everyone needs some emotional rest right now.
Yes.
Okay. The sixth one is social rest.
Okay.
This is differentiating between relationships that revive you versus relationships that exhaust you.
Have you ever heard of emotional vampires?
No.
Yes. These are people who, when you interact with them, you emotionally feel drained. And some people can even feel physical effects from these people when they're around you.
Oh, that's interesting because I wasn't like they suck the emotions out of you.
Well,
I was thinking they can only come out when something's emotional. Oh. Like vampires can only come out at night. Okay. I'm with you now. Sorry.
No.
I took that. My brain just took that the wrong way.
And they're people that feed off of your,
yeah,
off of your negative emotions, mm-hmm, and things like that. Think about the people in your life that just love drama.
Like a Dementor?
Yes, exactly. They feed off of drama, or they love to stir the pot so that they can just,
yeah.
Ugh. It can be really tiring to be around, yeah, those people.
But you were talking about your friend, mm-hmm, saying that when she's with you, she feels invigorated.
Yes.
So that would have been, I mean, your emotions are connected to that. But in these seven, I think that falls under the social, mm-hmm, rest.
Yeah. I was just thinking that with her, I don't have to people please. And, yeah, that's why it felt both emotionally and socially, mm-hmm, restful, even though we talked so much. We talked like the whole time we were,
yeah,
there.
Like there are a handful of people that I could be around all of the time and not be, you know, overwhelmed by them.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have someone that, or do you have certain people in your life that you feel invigorated with after you talk with them or you get to be around them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's the people so much as maybe the conversations that we have, mm-hmm, but, and I, as an introvert, I'm never really like invigorated by being around people all the time. However, my sister, for sure, mm-hmm, is someone that I could just be around 24/7. And like, that doesn't mean we would get along all the time.
That's who I was thinking you would say. Cause she, yeah, she seems like to be that kind of person for you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts that you have on social rest?
So it, you said it was differentiating between,
relationships that revive versus relationships that exhaust. Okay. And so then when you are experiencing social rest, you're like being with those people that are, you know, supportive and like
versus
invigorating,
like not being with anyone at all, like isolation.
I don't know. It didn't explain that.
Okay. Cause there might be times where it is good to have like periods of alone time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like for me, I think this is probably where extroverts and introverts would need something different because, there comes a point when all relationships are exhausting to me, not relationships. The interaction with other people is a slow drain.
I do think that happens for everyone. It just depends at what point, mm-hmm, does that happen for, mm-hmm, someone.
I get a weird sort of, you know, like when a kid is overtired and then they won't go to sleep and they get like really cranky.
Yes.
Pip does it too. I get like that with people, like almost to where when I'm around people too much, then it's like, I want to keep being around people, but it just making me cranky. And like, really, I just need to go and not be around, yes, people.
Yes.
I think last week because you were gone.
Uh-huh.
So then I guess it was really just Wednesday because I saw you Tuesday because we were on the Vine and then I didn't see you Wednesday. But Thursday I had quilting class and Friday I had quilting class and then all day Saturday quilting class. But it was like this weird mix because I had been alone in the studio all day until...
Until you had to do like a lot of people.
Yeah. And we had itty bitty playtime and there was 42 itty bitties and probably 30 parents. It was 72 bodies in the second studio.
That is so many people.
So I was definitely peopled out.
And I wasn't like, Joe has talked about this before that I'm her buffer here at the studio.
My social buffer.
Her social buffer. Mm-hmm. And so it can be hard. I can't ease you into your social situations.
Mm-mm. No. And because with itty bitty playtime, I had the teens and another, mm-hmm, one of our level three kids was there helping. And so, but I'm still socially in charge of them.
Oh yeah. You have to direct them.
Yeah. So ooh, it was exhausting.
Yes.
Okay. So that was social rest.
All right.
This is the last one. Number seven is spiritual rest.
Hmm.
So this is finding ways. It's a connection to like your belonging and acceptance and like self-love that happens beyond the physical and mental.
Mm-hmm.
So that is spiritual rest. It's more like for your soul.
Yeah. You're centering yourself, mm-hmm, trying to.
So prayer, meditation, like finding community.
Mm-hmm.
Those are spiritual examples of spiritual rest.
Yeah. A Jungian therapist might say that you're trying to get in touch with your true self. in that line of thinking, you never lose your true identity. You just lose your ability to connect with it. So this spiritual rest may be a way for you to connect with the true you,
mm-hmm.
which that can take a lot of different forms. I mean, you mentioned prayer and meditation, but, I mean, is there a time
therapy?
Yeah.
Like maybe therapy could be a part of that.
Absolutely. Is there something that, oh my goodness,
that was
quite
a big
flash.
Lightning, but no thunder.
Is there something that you partake in that really makes you feel like the youest of yous?
There's the thunder.
Ooh.
I mean, I guess that would be the creative rest.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying, but that wouldn't be like a spiritual sort of rest for me.
I mean, I don't know. Painting a wall can be very much like a meditative process.
Yeah, I guess that this is just showing that they kind of bleed together, right? Mm-hmm. Just like the emotional rest and social rest are very connected.
Yes. So you might be able to find multiple sorts of rests in an activity.
Well, and also, if we are considering spiritual rest to be connected with the divine,
mm-hmm.
then creativity very much is a part of that, because we here at McDo believe that creativity is an aspect of the divine in all of us. And so pursuing creative rest then definitely has a spiritual rest component to it.
I think it's often one that gets looked over in spiritual rest, because we often think of the typical sort of worship services sort of style mm-hmm. of things, but people may even find spiritual rest when they go out into nature.
Mm-hmm.
Again, experiencing that beauty, and because we talked about this earlier, the beauty and the creative all kind of bring us back to centering and thinking about how we fit into that, how we fit into this beauty, and what beauty do we add to this world. Mm-hmm.
And if part of it is about like finding acceptance and worth outside of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about that in relationship to creativity all the time.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the seven. I'll just name them off real quick. Mm-hmm. Physical, mental, sensory, creative, emotional, social, spiritual.
Wow.
And probably the one I struggle with most is probably mental.
The mental rest.
Uh-huh. And physical.
Oh, yeah. I can get that as well.
And the ones that probably I am the best at are sensory and creative.
There are times that I struggle with the spiritual, where I forget I forget to get in touch with who I am and whose I am and that sort of centering.
The spiritual is at the bottom of the barrel for me, but probably not more than physical and mental. Yeah. If I just was picking two at the bottom and two at the top.
Yeah. I definitely overplanned my
Your
rest week. I did. Well, and there were some other things that I didn't intend to happen. I had I attended a family funeral mm-hmm. at the end of the week, and although it was wonderful to be, it just was wonderful to see my family and an extended family that I didn't get to see. It is also was an expenditure of my sensory and my
emotions.
Yeah.
Social.
Yes.
All of those.
I mean, we sat there and talked at lunch for at least 2 or 3 hours afterwards, catching up. And that was important and needed and could only happen at that time.
Yeah.
It's something that couldn't wait. But, yeah.
I just wrote down a few ways that I rest.
Yeah, go ahead.
My first one is taking naps, but that's not so true anymore because, like I said, I have a hard time turning my brain off. But mm-hmm. sometimes I can take a little nap. Okay. One of the things I do that every time I do it, I get so annoyed with myself, but I like drop everything. This is especially when I'm very busy.
Yes.
I just drop everything and start a really big project.
You know, like
I'm going to cut a hole in my wall or I'm going to
paint my cabinets.
I just start something ridiculously big. So
even
painting that mural. Like,
oh yeah.
We didn't really have time last week.
What? No, we didn't.
Okay.
So what do you think that's feeding? Like when you drop everything and do that, what kind of rest do you think you're feeding into?
Okay. I think that It's probably creative. Mm-hmm. But I think also it is my brain's attempt at seeking mental rest. Like, I think when it feels overloaded by or overwhelmed by stuff that's coming up, mm-hmm. my brain is like, I just need a break. I can't think about this anymore. I can't make any of these decisions. Let me distract myself with this.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, my brain does slow down in those moments. True. So I guess it is a type of mental rest.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is not is a type of physical rest.
No, it just keeps going.
Yeah. And then another thing that I do is paint my nails. And this is probably one of the ways I'm the most consistently restful. Mm-hmm. And I typically do it at work. And it's just a way for me to, I get to choose a color or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, or sometimes like right now I'm wearing several colors. Yes. And so, you know, I have to take my old polish off. I have to shape my nails. I have to paint them. And then I do several coats and I like do it in between working. So it's kind of a way that I take like little mental breaks as I'm working.
While doing some self-care to make yourself feel, you know, not necessarily more attractive, but just to like beautify a part of yourself.
For me, it's not about being attractive or beauty at all. I think for me, it's because how many times, I feel like I'm saying this a lot recently. I love color. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way that I can like have color on me. Mm-hmm. And I've just always painted them, but it's not about like beauty in that sense at all.
I think I was talking with my friend over the weekend, love her. She and I were discussing, you know, different aspects of clothing and things like that. And we've discovered that most of the time it is for ourselves. It's not for the sake of anyone else to gaze upon us and think, oh, that person is beautiful. Instead, we often seek to do these things for ourselves because we want to look at ourselves and see the beauty within ourselves or be able to say that the inside now matches the outside.
I think that's more it.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Like that. It's not about beauty.
Yeah. Like it's not like I just want to look cute today.
No.
It's more of, I want the inside to match the outside.
I mean, that's my struggle with my hair as it's growing out, right? Like I just don't feel like myself as my hair is getting longer.
When I talk with my therapist, she goes, yeah, of course you want to dress this certain way because you want the inside to match the outside. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're right.
And that's why now we're just talking about style, but that is also why sometimes people don't know how they want to dress or when we stereotype certain looks to mean certain personalities and they're like, but my personality doesn't match that. Mm-hmm. So I can't dress like that.
Man, I had a friend of mine say, not a friend of mine. It was someone who was getting to know me. They looked me up on Facebook first and they go, she looks mean. Just like, I know, just based on like my profile picture.
Facebook profile picture?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which looks nothing.
No, it doesn't really look like you.
It doesn't look like me now. But at that point time it did. And it's just because
are you wearing glasses in it?
Yeah, I am. I'm wearing my pink glasses.
Oh.
Yeah. Or I thought I was. I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
But anyways, all that to say, sometimes the inside doesn't match the outside and we can get really confuzzled about like, well, you know.
What are ways that you rest?
I struggle with rest. I always want to be doing something.
But we've just described that doing something is not the same as struggling with rest.
This is true. However, I tend to pick things that I think will be restful but are not. And so I always end up feeling more tired than I originally was.
For example?
So like when I was talking about my creative dilemma and how I just felt so tired that I was just constantly cutting out things instead of going on and sewing, I really felt like I should have been, like in order to get better rest or to find that balance and motivation, that I should have been following through the entire creative process, but I didn't. And I was shaming myself for that. I wasn't really accepting that what I needed at that moment was just that sort of inspiration time of like putting different things together. Or I think, you know what's going to be really restful is if I plan to go and hang out with some friends of mine, get that social rest. But what I actually needed was time to be on my own and to kind of contemplate and recenter myself, that sort of spiritual rest. I just struggle to pick the right one for me. I just feel like I picked the wrong ones at the wrong time.
Got it.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm processing that.
I think my problem comes from a lack of being centered within myself and figuring out what I actually want. Because if you don't know, if you're not in tune with what your body needs or what you emotionally need, spiritually need, then you're not going to be able to pick the right rest for you.
It's like intuitive eating when they're talking about, like, when you can connect with your body and what it, the nutrients that it needs and eat intuitively. But if I was like, I'm going to practice intuitive eating, I would just eat Frosted Flakes all the time. Yes. Like, that there's a difference between what you want and then being intuitive and choosing to give your body what it needs.
Yeah, there's a difference between knowing what you want and knowing what your body needs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my own therapy work right now is trying to figure out what is it that my body is, or well, what my whole self is actually desiring. Mm-hmm. And being able to speak that not only to myself, but to other people. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people often plan out these big, long vacations thinking, or not, well, I mean, they plan these vacations that are full of stuff and they don't take the time to figure out what it is their family or they need with their time off.
No, that's not my problem. I have a friend group that was trying to plan a vacation, not a, like a bike ride, like riding on our bikes.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't have a bike. And I said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, Joe, you know, kind of giving me grief about it.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not how I want to spend my time off or my money or mm-hmm. like my energy. None of it. None of that sounds appealing to me. And while I want to spend time with those people, that idea was not something I was,
didn't sound restful to you.
No, but really at this stage, travel in general does not sound restful. And I know a lot of people really enjoy travel. But I think I got traveled out when I lived in Ireland.
You did a lot of it.
Now I just want to be home. Yeah.
That's fair.
So it's interesting to me that for your time off, you were like, I'll schedule all of this.
Yeah.
Whereas I would be like, I'm not seeing anyone.
Well, that was kind of the original plan until I had people start to come up to me and say, hey, we want to have you over for dinner because we hear Richard's not going to be there. Or, hey, I hear you're not doing anything. And so they want to come and do those things. And I love those people.
Right.
And I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
And I had to move up my Nashville trip because of this funeral.
Yeah.
So I was going to give more time for rest, but because of things that I could not foresee, I didn't get that rest.
Okay, so we have entered summer season, which is like Madison is the employee of the summer.
Yes. Well,
she's the employee of the year.
It's prime time for me.
It is Madison season over here at McDo. But when we were planning the schedule, as part of that, I said, I think you should take Fridays off.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you will have to come up here on Saturday. Like every other Saturday you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, looking ahead at the summer that you have Fridays off, like I'm not asking you to come up here at all.
No.
So when, you know, we were talking about when are we going to record the podcast, we're like squeezing it in.
Yes.
Not on Fridays.
It's going to have to be today.
So how are you going to approach your Fridays now with this
rest in mind? I'm going to try and do listening to myself more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to, like, as of right now, the Friday that I have going on, I do not have anything this week. I have nothing planned. And that is my goal. Like the night before, I'm not going to stay up late because I like to go to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to bed at what I think is a decent time. And I'll get up when my body wants me to get up. I'll eat what my body wants me to eat. and I'm just planning on just letting it free flow.
So are you going to like go to the grocery store and do all of that before?
Oh, before?
Yeah.
So
that you have what you need on Friday.
Well, I'm thinking that after this podcast, I'm considering all the things that I need to do so that I'm ready so that when Thursday is done, I can just wipe my hands and go home.
That's funny that you said that you like to go to bed early because I love to stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know, oh my gosh, tomorrow is like my rest day mm-hmm. and I don't have to do anything, I will just let myself stay up as late as I want.
Well, yours truly has a body that loves to wake her up at 6 a.m.
Mm.
And regardless,
of course.
I know. I'm like,
I have a dog, not my dog, a dog in the neighborhood that likes to bark early. So, yeah. Okay, so maybe throughout the summer, we'll just
check in with you
and with your rest.
What I'm also looking forward to as well is that it's going to be a day that not really too many other people have time off, so they can't ask for my time.
Right.
They're busy doing other
stuff. Well, and also, you can say,
no,
I can't.
I struggle with saying no.
But you can, but I think you just give Friday as your, like, the answer on Friday. You decide once. That's a lazy genius principle. Yeah. You decide that on Friday, your answer is no.
Just not going to happen.
Right. Unless it's something that you are choosing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Friday, your default answer is no.
Because this, like, little part of me is wanting to, like, fill it with, what things can you do for other people on Friday?
And no,
like,
that you can do those things on Saturday.
Yeah.
After you've worked
after
here.
After I've worked.
Or on Sunday after you've worked here. Yes. Like, not, you don't work here on Sunday.
Yeah.
After you do your church things or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you can do those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? I know you had, when we were talking about the tips, it was going to be how to decide what type of rest you need. I have nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, let me hit you with some.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're tired, like if you're telling people, oh, man, I'm so tired, consider this. Consider what you're missing. Are you missing sleep, exercise, or motivation? Because if you are, depending on what you're missing there, that will determine then what kind of rest that you need. If you're missing sleep, duh, you probably do need to get more sleep, a nap, go to bed, whatever. But if your body is feeling tired and you're still getting, you know, an okay amount of sleep, consider exercise like you
were talking about.
Maybe you need to move your body or take it somewhere new or have it experience something
new.
Come on, body.
We're going somewhere new.
Yeah. Maybe that somewhere new is just getting up off the couch and doing a new yoga pose or whatever it is.
Yeah.
New walk, whatever. And then for motivation, if you're just feeling like you can't bring yourself to do anything, you need something new or you need to find something that will spark some energy in you.
I'm familiar with that kind of tired. And that is when I usually will turn on Netflix. Well, I don't have Netflix anymore, but like Hulu or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it feels like such a waste.
It is hard to find those things that really light a spark in you or get you motivated. Mm-hmm. But once you find those few things,
that's where having a creative hobby is very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just going in there, picking up that guitar, playing a few things or
reading.
Yep. Exactly. Doing some gardening. Sometimes just being in that space where the creative things happen is enough to get a spark in you to be like, okay, I can do a little something here.
But the space where creative things happen is not the same as just mindlessly scrolling Pinterest.
Yeah, that's different. That's totally different.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're bored, so like your mind is tired.
Okay. So, but you're differentiating this from lack of motivation.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm considering like you've been doing the same thing day in and day out.
Okay.
Consider finding a new experience. Now, I know I'm always a big proponent of try a new recipe, but I know you people don't cook, or some of you don't cook. Well, let me hear
you know
me
people don't cook.
Yeah. Drive a new way home. Find new routes in the grocery store. Pick up something like that is still kind of safe. Like, let's say you like chocolate. Go and pick a unique little piece of chocolate out. Just do something.
It looked like you were holding a chocolate orange.
Yes.
I love those things.
Just find something that is slightly out of the ordinary to kind of kick your brain into, huh, that's interesting. And even if you don't, like, be okay with the fact that you may not like it.
Like those watermelon covered, chocolate covered watermelon
jellies.
I actually ended up eating them all. They were from Trader Joe's. They grew on me, but it was.
But what about the watermelon jerky?
Oh no, that went in the trash. I didn't like that.
While I was in Nashville, I tried this ice cream. It was everything bagel ice cream. I know, it's crazy.
Those of you who cannot see me, I made a face of much disgust,
guys. Cream cheese ice cream, which is basically just like cheesecake ice cream.
Okay.
All right. And then they had some everything bagel seasoning in there. It wasn't overly salty and like some little pieces of bagel. Wasn't big, but just like some little pieces. So like everything bagel seasoning is like black sesame seeds, salt,
garlic
and some caramelized onions. But hear me out. When that stuff is cooked, they have sweet flavors in them. The reason that caramel and garlic browns is because there is sugar present within those alums, and that's what happens when they get sweeter.
The problem, I wouldn't like the garlic really pushes me over the edge in that.
Yeah.
So anyway, was it good?
I enjoyed it. I also tried a new latte that had black pepper in it, which I've had one here before that was good. But this one, I didn't appreciate as much. I think it had cardamom in it, and I don't think I'm a cardamom fan.
Mm.
But I tried something new, and now I'm aware the cardamom doesn't strike my fancy.
Yeah.
So I learned something new about myself.
Yeah.
Who knew? So anyways,
if you're bored. This is being bored.
So if you're bored, try out a new experience. It can be really small, new restaurant, driving home, whatever, trying a weird flavor of ice cream. The next thing is to challenge yourself, because if you're bored and you've had the same old going on, maybe it's time to push yourself out of the comfort zone and try something a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time here at Make Do where I felt like I was like, oh, I'm kind of doing the same things over and over again. But then when something else got added to my plate, it felt oddly better. And I thought, why does this feel better? It's because I was being challenged in new ways. And I enjoy that.
Uh-huh. Now we're being challenged in itty bitty ways.
Oh, yes, we are. Trying to figure out like what do parents and the kids want and how do we balance that? It's unique and interesting. And most people don't consider challenging yourself as a way of rest, but with that creative rest, that may be just what you need. You need something to like for your mind to chew on and problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've got for.
Okay. So for it was, if you're physically tired and then if you are bored.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't go there. That was helpful though. And I talked a lot at the beginning, so then it was good for you to
fill in at the end.
Absolutely. Even though I still am going to continue to struggle with what kinds of rest that I actually need. But that just tells me I need to do some more personal exploring. And maybe you do too. Who knows?
Yeah. Or is there any benefit to kind of looking at, wait, what kind of rest have I not prioritized in a while? And kind of going, you know, so maybe on your Fridays, you're like, checking in with this gives you things to like actually check in on.
Yes.
And so like maybe next Friday you think, what kind of, which of the seven do I need this week?
Yes.
Very good.
I love that you found that list. That was very helpful.
Yeah. If you just Google seven types of rest, it'll pop up. But I also will put a note in the show link to the TED Talk.
Right.
What was your sweet this week? No, I forgot. We're starting with sour now. What was your sour?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't even write down a sour. Well, I guess my sour is that I haven't gotten as much rest as I would have liked to have gotten. So hopefully I can fix that by Friday. And I know this rain is making me want to take a nap right now, but I've got things to do.
I think that time off from work is always a little bit of a letdown because it's never as restful as you're hoping it will be. And the work doesn't stop just because you're not there. Mm-hmm. Like the work doesn't stop coming in. So then when you come back to work, you have all of this stuff that has accumulated that still has to get done.
Yes.
So.
But I mean, it really wasn't too bad. You helped out. You kind of played catcher for me while I was gone on a few things. And
yeah. I tried to, I wanted to contact you way more than I did. I tried to not contact you.
Much appreciated. What's your sour?
Pip's fleas are back.
No, it's the third return of the fleas.
I think it's the second.
No, she had fleas once and then they came back again, right? Or she kept getting them?
She just had them, right. She like had them for like what, over a week?
Yes.
No, so that was one long time. Okay. And then now I think what happened is the larva from that week when she had them was like in the carpet and stuff. And those fleas were like, welcome us to the world. So we are doing like a second kind of treatment. So it smells like flea spray at McDo. Blech.
Oh, but we're dealing with it.
That's my sour.
Pip fleas.
What's is your sweet?
My sweet is that I found two new pairs of Keds that I was super happy with. I got a yellow pair and a purple pair.
Hey, yellow like McDo.
Yes, exactly.
And those purple ones, she's wearing purple right now, y'all, and they match her dress perfectly.
I love them. I actually painted these.
Oh.
Yeah, they were originally white, but I couldn't find a purple that I liked, so I just painted them with some leather paint. Y'all, this we are not sponsored, but Angelus leather paint is amazing because you can paint on tennis shoes, leather couches, purses, whatever. It is fabulous.
We'll put a note.
Yes.
In the show
They're
notes.
So great.
We'll put a link, I mean, in the show notes. Okay. My sweet, well, besides the fact that you're back, is I've been like involved in classes and stuff again.
Oh, yeah. Because you just had two quilting classes.
I just had two quilting classes with a weekend in between. And then because you're not here for itty bitty playtime that's happening on Fridays, I'm doing all of that. By the time this comes out on Monday, this class would have already happened. But on Saturday, I'm teaching a color theory for quilting workshop that I'm like super excited about.
And that just popped up randomly, right?
Yeah, because I just taught an advanced quilting class and two of the people in that were talking about how picking out fabric is the hardest part. And they said, you should teach this. And I was like, okay, how about next weekend?
Yeah.
Because it's open shop this weekend. So we're just doing it at the beginning of open shop. So that's been kind of invigorating to get out of my office, even though I do love the office-y work too. Mm-hmm. And we... Pip just had a very dramatic stretch. But she's been doing very good with the storm. She just went right to sleep.
Yeah.
We have some new merch that we're working on for the itty bitties. It's just kid shirts right now. If there's enough of a liking to it, then we will do adult stuff too. But y'all,
it's cute.
They're so cute.
And very funny. I find them quite humorous.
So it's little lemon characters. Anyway. That's my sweet. I'm just really enjoying work right now.
That's good.
I mean, I lean towards workaholic, but it's not always like work that I'm, a lot of times it's feeling like I need to be productive and work a lot to have value.
Yes.
But this just feels like I'm doing work that is valuable or like has value. I don't know. Anyway, it's adding value to my life. I guess I'll say it like that. So,
yeah.
And with itty bitties, we're just getting all kinds of new families engaged with McDo that weren't otherwise. I mean, we had, I think, 29 families represented last week, and only a handful of those are involved with McDo, like with their older kids. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
It is. I've been noticing in some of my level one classes, they'll say, oh, I know so-and-so from your class. Like, we've had enough kids come through that now they tell their friends, and now their friends want to come to make
do.
And it just, oh, I love it.
So we really like that. So that is my sweet.
Oh, so nice.
You learning anything right now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about things that we've learned. Well, I'm definitely learning that I'm terrible at planning, that I'm terrible at having time off.
Madison.
Yeah.
That is the opposite of the point of this.
Oh, of like good things that I'm learning.
Maybe say it like this. Okay. You are learning a different way to approach your rest.
Yes, I am learning a different way to approach my rest. Yeah, I don't know. What am I? What? I don't know. Go ahead and say what you're learning right now.
I think something I'm learning. Well, so I've been learning a lot with our database that we use. It's called Little Green Light, but because with this itty bitties, like just with the ways that we can communicate through that and the ways our website is still not working and it's been like over a month, people can't register for classes. And so we're like finding ways to kind of make a stopgap for that with Little Green Light. So I've been learning a lot of that.
I've been learning to ask kids how they feel about their projects when they ask me how they feel about
what you think about it.
Several times today, I had a kid go, what do you think about my sewing? And before I answered, I said, what do you think about your sewing?
Uh-huh.
And that was a idea that was learned from Beth, Joe's aunt's friend,
yeah,
who came and visited us. So thank you, Beth. I appreciate it.
So what was it, a boy or a girl?
It was a boy.
So what did he say when you asked him what he thought?
He said, I'm doing pretty good. And he was right. He was doing pretty good. I did point out some things where I was like, you can even tell the difference between like that you're getting better just in this one, you know, project. Look here how crooked it was and look how straight you are now.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So I'm really trying to put it back on kids to think about what they think about their project and not think and not try to get validation from me.
Yeah.
Because I won't always be around. They won't always have someone to validate them.
No. Brilliant.
Yep.
Okay, well, R-E-S-T.
Rest.
Get some rest this week, y'all. Yeah. We will. The plan is that we'll be here next week.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.